name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Thanks for slowing down for a moment to listen to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Tony Woodward. And I've been getting a lot of iron in my diet. I mean, a lot.
Yeah. And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to CW television show, The Flash. And we're going to have some discussion and commentary on the various episodes. You're not gonna beat me up, are you, Tony?
No, I think you smart guys. I need you around if you can help me do my homework and my podcast here.
Okay, gladly, anything, absolutely, and I'll change the name on it so you can turn that in. So anyway, my friend Tony here, also known as Jay,
and wash my car,
and wash your car, two coats.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever.
So, Tony, why don't you tell us about the episode that we are going to talk about tonight?
Well, this is the episode that I thought I was watching last week before I started paying attention to what the actual name of the episode was. This is The Flash is Born. I couldn't figure out for about a day after last week, what does this have to do with The Flash being born? This was all about this woman called Plastique. And then I checked my notes, and I was reading the wrong week. This was episode 6 of season 1, and it aired originally on November 18th, 2014, if you are listening to us in the future. And if you are, tell us what happened at the end of season 1, because we really want to know. The writer is – well, there are two writers. Now, this is either Jamie Paglia or Jaime Paglia. We are not quite sure on that, so we apologize to him for that. But also Chris Rafferty was the co-writer, and the director was Millicent Shelton. Millicent, you don't see that name popping up too often. That is not a fairy tale.
That's true. It's going to be the new popular name, though.
Mill. I mean, that's great. It's a very strong name, I guess. Anyway. You know those kids that used to pick on you in elementary school, Josh?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, they're going to grow up and be even worse.
What?
So, yeah, they may still be beating you up in school. They might even turn into seemingly indestructible steel and go on drunken binges of car theft, kidnapping your would-be girlfriend, and speedster butt-kicking. At least that's what happens to Barry when he tries to stop Tony, a.k.a. Girder, who also turns out to be his childhood nemesis. But you know what's stronger than that? Physics. Physics can stop him. That is, if Cisco can work out exactly how. And some of this problem might just boil down to Iris's blog, where she just can't stop talking about streaking. The streak. Excuse me. Plus, Joe West starts to suspect that Harrison Wells might have something to do with the death of Barry's mother. So let's find out if Barry can run fast enough to solve all these steely problems on this week's Scarlet Velocity.
All right. That's right. Whew. This streaking blog.
You know, I need to set up that the brief with more words, and I need to read it like that that fast talker guy from those old TV commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Just see if I can just... read through it like that someday.
I would be
kind of like that 15-second thing they want to do for the Flash.
Yeah, our briefs are generally longer than 15 seconds, aren't they?
Yeah. often they are a lot longer. Not as long as the episode, but they're not necessarily brief.
No.
But they're fun.
Okay. Well, hey, you at least have to wear briefs if you're going to be called the Streak. So, So before we get talking about the episode, let's get into a couple pieces of news. And the first one is about executive producer Greg Berlanti. You've heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he has just been named head writer for the Oscars.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had writers for that. But I guess they would have to.
Yeah, I think gosh, I don't know what the head writer would do. I mean, you know, they have to write.
Right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
head writer would have to be in charge of all the writing, I would think. But do they do the, I don't know, the little announcements, you know, in between breaks, or do they write the jokes for the host, or
I don't know if they do the jokes. I'm sure they put together some of the dialogue that's read, and they may even figure out, like, as a writer, quote unquote, you know, like what clips they're going to use from the nominated films or things like that as well.
Okay. So I wonder if they write the names down so, like, John Travolta can screw them up.
You know, I used to be, because I was in film school in college, and I used to watch the Academy Awards religiously.
Uh-huh.
I do not anymore because they just, it's gotten so bad. I mean, it's just like a lot of these award shows. It's too self-gratuitous, I think, for the people involved.
Well, I will admit to you that I do watch it religiously. I just, I agree with what you said, and it is a lot of hype. But I kind of enjoy that just for fun. You know, I don't know how much importance I put on it, but for me, it's a good night to celebrate the movies. And I love montages.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't love a good montage? Now, if I still lived in California, it would be one thing because they start at a reasonable hour. But back here on the East Coast, these things do not end until like 1 a.m. some days. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that does make sense. I'm only an hour ahead of the West Coast. So, well, it also... just to add this into the news there, joining him on the writing team for the Oscars is also going to be Andrew Kreisberg.
Yay.
Who's you know, an Arrow and Flash worker, writer. Mm-hmm.
Writer slash producer.
Yeah.
Slash other just, things.
All the people that put all the good, juicy goodness in it for us, so... and then Michael Green, who worked on 2011's Green Lantern script with Berlanti also.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Very cool.
Okay, so also, this is pretty cool. I really like this. Flash has been nominated for something already.
Yeah, I was very excited to hear about this.
This is excellent. It's been nominated for Favorite New TV Drama for the People's Choice Awards in 2015. Now, when is the People's Choice Awards there? Is that, I want to say like, say February or March. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems like it. I'm clicking through on the link to see if I can find the information. I'm not seeing it here. But yeah, that sounds about right.
So you can actually go and vote for The Flash. You go to the CW website, CWTV.com, and you can find that. And we'll also try to put a link to that on the Facebook page. But that would be most excellent if they could pick up an award already here. First season and only a few episodes in, but it really shows the quality and how much people are enjoying it so far. So,
I mean, this show, The Flash, is beating Arrow in terms of ratings. And, you know, it's only... what, six episodes in now, mm-hmm. and Arrow's in its third season. So that's saying something right there.
It is saying something. And I think Flash has got that that appeal that kind of spreads across different groups of people, where mm-hmm. a lot of different people can enjoy it. Not that Arrow's not fantastic, and a lot of people would enjoy that too, but it's a different kind of superhero genre show.
It's a little more noir.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's actually a really, really good definition for what they're doing with Arrow.
Yeah.
So, but it's also definitely a good quality show. If you're not watching that, you should check it out. And you're going to get a chance to see them both here pretty soon. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, about two more weeks, I think.
Man, it's been flying by, but I'm excited. It's going to be hard to wait for that. So let's talk about this episode particularly, though, because you and I have kind of been discussing since we've seen the episode here and there about how we liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Not your favorite episode, huh?
Not my favorite episode. At this point, I would probably rate this one on the bottom out of the six.
Okay.
Which, you know, in a field of six, that's not too bad. But I had a number of while I had some of those really strange questions about last week's or the last episode, where, you know, like, oh, how's he run up the building? And just some other goofy questions that, you know, physics, you know, silly stuff like that. This one was just kind of like writing 101 in terms of like a superhero thing, you know, and bringing back like the bully from school, from not even like college or something like that, just elementary school. It was very trite, tropic, I don't know, formulaic, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that, and I actually agree with you. I would agree that this is probably my least favorite so far. But hey, there's got to be one. There's got to be one at the bottom.
Yeah.
And the things we had issue from last week are, you know, they're comic book issues. They're things that are going to happen in comic books to make it a fantasy world. The issues we had in this one were had more to do with the story, you know, and how they got to where they wanted to go. At least those were mostly my issues from this.
It seemed like they were trying to necessitate a plot that would, you know, make the Flash and Barry, you know, look like a better character.
Sure.
And I feel they took a shortcut on it by making it, you know, it weak. And so it's like, oh, look, he triumphed. It's like, well, yeah, but, you know, go bully. You know, or no bully, you know, it's just.
So let me ask you this then, because, and you know, there were some really interesting things in this episode and some good quality.
Well, the subplot was great.
Yeah, absolutely. But do you think that episodes like this are kind of necessary at the beginning of a series? To just establish certain things of a character, like you said, some strengths of the character, especially if they're going to be like a superpowered kind of character, you know, some weaknesses.
Yeah.
You got to know that Superman is not completely invulnerable. You know, you have to know that. So you have to introduce something in there. So can you do it without being so formulaic like they were in this one? We felt
you,
or.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always – I think writers always have that choice to do I go with the, you know, the basic story, you know, boy meets girl, boy falls in love, boy loses girl, you know, they realize that they're meant for each other and they go back to each other. You know, it's just one of those you know, there are certain stories that just have been told a lot. And there are ways to do even those sort of formulaic stories not formulaically. And I think they tried to do that in this episode at the very end. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but that's kind of where I felt it was going. Now, having said that, I think that in general, to answer your question, in the first season of fantasy, sci-fi, these kind of shows, superhero shows, stuff like this, they have their share of stinkers, and it's just everybody getting used to the universe, to the characters, not just the main character, but all the characters. You know, you look at the first season of the X-Files. There were some stinkers there. You look at the first season of like Star Trek: The Next Generation, even Arrow, Shield. You know, there's some great episodes and there's ones where you're just like, whoa, why am I, I don't care about this. You never really want to watch that episode again. It's like, great, I'm glad we got that out of the way. So now we can get on to the better stuff. But I'd rather have them do, you know, I'd rather have them be a little more creative with what they do with the characters. And I think you can, I think it has to do with the villain that you pick, which tells you something about your hero. And, you know, people say it's like, but James Bond is James Bond, but if you have a really good villain, you're going to have a really great movie. And I think, you know, they hit a great villain, just two or three episodes ago with Captain Cold, because we both agreed that that was probably the best episode we've seen. I still think it's the top episode out of these first six.
Mm-hmm.
But Girder, you know, while he's an interesting enough character, he's kind of like Colossus from the X-Men in the Marvel Universe. they could have just made him another metahuman, but then they went and did that extra added bit and made it a character that both Iris and Barry knew from elementary school, and, you know, tried to tie it into this bullying message. And I don't know, it just, it got muddled, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. It, they could have left it just your, I don't know how you want to say it, just like a stranger, you know, somebody that, that he never met and still done those things. He still could have discovered Iris's blog and gone to talk to her without actually having known her. So I agree. I wanted to point this out, though, as we discuss this, because, you know, we're going to talk about some really good things here as well. But now you and I have a lot more background knowledge of the characters and storylines from comics and you know, other incarnations of Flash and comics and things like that. And so we see it with a different eye. And that's very common. So I'm not saying like we're special by any means. But what I want to point out about this show is that
we're meta special.
That's right. I have the power of talking too much. I don't know.
Can I share my? I have two special powers.
You have two special powers. Okay.
Yeah. One is I make the street lights go off when I drive by. A lot of people have that, though. I understand. I looked it up on Wikipedia. My other power is I can actually choose the line in the grocery store that goes the slowest. Every time.
Oh, you know what? Hey, I have that power too. Maybe we're connected somehow.
We are totally brothers from another mother.
That's true. I always figured I had just irritated a gypsy or something, and she cursed me to find the longest line every time. But
no, you
anyway,
got bit by a radioactive gypsy. Sorry. Go ahead. I don't mean to digress.
No, that was. That's actually, I really want to create a new superhero now. But so anyway, like I said, that's very common. And so a large portion of the audience is going to have quite a bit of knowledge, and another large portion is going to have some knowledge of these characters. And so they're going to be able to kind of break that down. Like you said, you know, do they need this character? And geez, you know, it's just a formula that they use on these types of shows. But what I wanted to say is that this show, Flash, is a pretty family friendly show, at least so far. And compared to the other two that we do shows about, you know, Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., those are much more dark and sometimes even a bit gory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Flash doesn't seem to be like that, and it is a show that I enjoy watching with my young daughters. They do not watch the other shows that I do. They've seen Arrow. Actually, they've seen them both. But Flash is something that they actually ask me to watch, you know, with them.
Okay.
And we sit down. And I wanted to say that they enjoyed this episode very much. They laughed quite a bit. They understood what was going on, and they they liked it. So I just wanted to kind of put that kind of an angle on it too, that while you and I kind of break these things down, and we've seen this on Smallville and all the other, you know, shows that we've watched over the years, it still has some good qualities that can provide entertainment for people that don't have as much background knowledge as you and I do.
Do your daughters have knowledge of the Flash kind of outside the show though?
Just really just from what they've heard me talk about, you know.
Okay.
They've never
maybe
read
a cartoon here or there or something. Or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, just very, very basic. And I've found that a few of my my students are in that similar situation, you know, where I mean, it's a different generation, you know, that just doesn't that hasn't really grown up so much with comics. It's been all their comic book heroes have come from movies and TV shows.
It's so weird.
It is kind of weird. and I'm not sure it's altogether pure, you know. I almost think they need that a little bit. You know, it's like a lot of the movies I enjoy. Like when I was growing up with Star Wars, I enjoyed kind of looking back at the things that inspired George Lucas to create Star Wars. I love watching the old Buck Rogers serials. I have all those on VHS tape. I love watching them. just because I think it gives me an idea of where these things come from, and it gives me more of a enjoyment of it, which is kind of why, you know, I like talking about this stuff with you, because you can break it down and understand it more. So while they enjoy it and while they didn't have a problem with this episode, I don't think that they're getting the same kind of deep entertainment and enjoyment that you and I are getting from it. So,
And yeah, that's fine. I mean, as a child, and a, you know, young teen or tween or whatever, you know, that's not what I watch TV for. I just watch TV for entertainment, but it's good to know that there is entertainment like this that works on multiple levels. I found it interesting you were talking about, you know, kind of going back and looking at things that inspired Star Wars, because as I'm getting deeper into the modern era of comics and comic book movies and all these crazy storylines they're doing in the actual comics, I keep going further and further back in comics to original incarnations, original stories, and, you know, looking at the, you know, the first time that the Flash did this, or, you know, the birth of the Fantastic Four, or the origin of, you know, Captain America, like in the 40s, incredible stuff. It's totally dated and really hokey, but there's just something really pure about going back to that source. It hasn't been diluted by 15 retellings and three deaths of the main character and all this other stuff. So
that's pretty minimal right there.
Oh yeah. That's you know, I think Captain America's really only died twice. So I don't know, you know, but
yeah, Flash is in there a couple times too. So
exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, but again, we enjoy talking about it because we can look deep into it. And this episode did just follow this pattern, you know, this villain of the week type pattern. Although, you know, they kept him around, he's got some potential there. And the message of the week, you know, I wanted, you know, Mr. T to come on at the end of this episode going, listen, fool, you don't go bullying around people because that can come back to haunt you. You know, so I just felt like there should be a message at the end. But
yeah, Harrison Wells, we're talking to you.
could he be the Mr. T at the end? He comes back in. This week, Barry had to experience bullies.
No, that's not right, because when he pronounces Barry's name, he says,
"Oh, you're
Barry.
Barry.
This Barry."
Okay, so weird. So my then last point on this little topic, and I don't want to talk a little bit about Mr. Wells there. Excuse me, Dr. Wells.
Yes.
So how do you avoid
being... He worked hard
for
his doctorate, damn it.
He worked hard to be this evil, creepy, murderous scientist. How do you avoid doing that? In a part of your story where you have to kind of push some of these things along, how do you avoid being so formulaic?
You don't use a formula. I don't know. I can only imagine the you know, part of me is like, wow, wouldn't that be awesome to work on a TV show like this? And then part of me goes, well, it's a job just like any other job. And there are days that you hate your work, and I'm sure there are people that work on this and they just hate what they do, you know, at certain times, and I'm sure they love it at other times. And there are those times when it's like, we have, you know, a week to write a script or however long they have to do it. You know, they don't have the luxury of just sitting there and going, well, we should just wait till we have a really good idea to do this. They don't have that. They have to just go. And I mean, the solution is come up with a better idea, but you know what I'm saying is they may not have the luxury of that, and they may have to kind of fall back on a formulaic piece like this. So I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. I'm surprised there haven't been more stinkers up to this point. I mean, I think there's some people out there that have been overly critical of the show, but people I think have been more overly critical of, like, Arrow, for example, and some of the stupid things that go on there, just in terms of, like, plot coincidence. You know, coincidences are always something that I think they should kind of keep to a minimum in shows, especially shows as fantastic as this, because you really have to suspend your disbelief that much more. You know, it's like, oh, wow, you know, he was able to, you know, the person he saved was the friend of his mom, but it wasn't actually the friend of the mom. It was the mom, and she was never dead. And, you know, it's just goes on like that.
It does.
So.
And trying to fit a story into an hour or so is hard.
40 minutes, really, with all the commercials.
And it would be hard to avoid that. Squeeze
yeah,
it in.
So.
But that's one of the things I think that they could do to prevent some of this is spread that out. You know, don't just do it in one episode.
That's a good point. And, you know, it's like I said, it's kind of picking the villain, too, because I don't think that this character, you know, this character as a villain, he was very simplistic. I mean, it was like he was a bully in school. He got turned into this superpowered villain or superpowered character. And then he just was continuing to do what he did before. I mean, they're saying that basically this character has no arc. He was a bad guy in elementary school. He was probably a bad guy in high school and may or may not have gone to college. And then he gets these superpowers, and it's like, great. Now he just goes and steals trucks and gets drunk, you know, steals beers and ATMs and just goes back and torments people that he tormented in high school or in school. There's really no depth to him, and that, you know, so to make Barry seem better than that is not very hard. And it's just too, it was just too easy, too simplistic there. I think that's kind of what it comes down to. But, you know, I mean, there are all sorts of circumstances that, again, go into it. And it's not an excuse for them writing this. But, you know, there's, like you said, there's always got to be an episode that's at the bottom of the list. And even established shows can have a stinker, you know, in the middle of, you know, a long run of good television. It just, you know, again, it happens with the way stuff gets written, and you've got writing teams and, well, we need something to shoot this week and we're going to go with this, whether it's ready or not.
Yeah. Well, I felt like they were ready. I felt like some of it was establishing more of Barry's powers and what they're capable of doing.
Which
is kind of what I felt like they were doing last week with him running up the side of the building, running on water. Now we've established that if he runs fast enough, he can hit really hard stuff.
Supersonic punch, baby! God, Cisco gets so excited, man.
He does. And you know what? I saw somebody on Twitter this week that said how much they don't like Cisco, which kind of surprised me because I really like Cisco.
Okay, right. So, well, and I'm sure there's some listeners out there that might be annoyed by that. And we know there are listeners out there on our Arrow podcast and who had commented on the episode of The Flash with Felicity that they're just not fans of that character. And that's fine. You know, everybody doesn't have to like everybody else. There are just certain people that you don't like. I mean, you know, everybody likes me, but there are people that I just don't like.
It's true, and it's totally okay if you don't like a particular character. But you know, it kind of works with the formula of all the characters that are in the show right now, but a different kind of formula. So,
right.
I think they did establish some of his powers in this, although I didn't think they were being very creative with how to stop him. I thought they maybe could have come up with some different ways. I wouldn't have thought, well, let's see, the guy's made of steel, let's try to hit him head on. How about doing some other things really fast that, you know, throw him off balance or something like that?
Barry was doing, you know, he like slid under his legs and then he kicked him in the butt and then he hits him with a flagpole. And then what does Barry do? Not let go of the flagpole.
Yes. Hey,
idiot.
Well, I agree. Although in the moment, you know, I can say I've probably done the same thing water skiing. So, you know, you don't think about it at the time. So Girder, not my favorite, although they did keep him around. They kept him around, and I like that they're not killing the villains. They tossed him in their prison.
In their little clear prison with no toilet and no food service.
Well, not that we've seen.
Well, not that we've seen, right.
Maybe,
but
maybe they have like a little Star Labs thing, you know, a little thing that pops out of the wall. You know, maybe you hit a button and your little toilet slides
out. Your pizza is ready.
I can see that. I can see that they would do something like that. And maybe they're going to hire somebody to go down there and, you know, feed all the prisoners each day. It did kind of surprise me that they put him in there. Actually, what surprised me was that he still had his powers. I don't know why he would have lost them. It just seemed that he had hit him so hard that maybe something happened.
Yeah,
and then Iris hit him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was – so that's what I'm saying is like from a formulaic standpoint, that was kind of different, right? Because you're thinking, all right, so Barry's going to be the one to defeat him. And then Iris is the one that knocks him out, which I thought was a clever little twist. But if you're trying to set up your hero being this hero, then why do you have Iris knock him out?
Well, he loosened the jar. He loosened the jar, right? And then she just opened it.
I see that. I just felt in the moment, I'm like, Iris totally emasculated Barry right there. I mean, like, sad. Big time, big puddle on the floor. It's just, you know, I mean, when it comes to superheroes, you know, I like my men manly, I like my women sexy, and you know, I apologize to anybody I'm offending by that, but you know, it's just that really basic plot line. You know, if you're gonna have a superhero, you know, he's just da 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 da, you know, and he's, you know, like Superman or whatever. He's just he's the superhero, right? And the other people are sidekicks or whatever. And I know they're trying to mix it up here and everything, but
it's okay. Yeah, yeah. That's it does jar you, but in the big scope of things, I think it's going to help Barry become that hero that we want.
Yeah.
Okay. So, not a fan of Girder, not a fan of the particular storyline. I want to talk about Iris real quick before we get to Dr. Wells here. Okay, I really want to like Iris more. I like the actress. I think she's playing it well. And she is a smart character, at least, you know, she is most of the time.
We are told she is a smart character.
Yes, that's true.
But what she does is not smart.
And well, she sounds smart when she talks.
Yeah, but it's that there's an old writing dictum that is called show, don't tell. Right, I can tell you all day long about a character, but when I actually show a character doing actions, because it's this film, we get so much more about who they are when we see them actually perform and do actions rather than just saying, hey, you know, Bob's a real nice guy. Well, if we see Bob doing real nice things, we will understand much more internally in the language of film and television that Bob's a nice guy. But if you have somebody saying, hey, Bob's a nice guy, and then you see Bob kicking puppies, you're like, well, that doesn't, why, what's going on here? Why are they showing me this and telling me that? Now, it could be for dramatic purposes, and it also could just be just bad writing or lazy writing. And this, I kind of get back to maybe they're taking some shortcuts. You know, it's easier, it's cheaper and quicker for a character to say something about somebody rather than take the minute or 2 minutes or whatever to show us what they need to show us. And, you know, we keep hearing about how smart Iris is, and we can't tell her that it's, you know, can't tell her your secret because that's going to be problematic, yet she just keeps doing stupid things.
Yeah, I know. You know, she feels she's Lois Lane right now. It's right. Exactly what she is. She's clever, and she you know, she figures out how to find things out. But once she gets into dangerous situations, she's the damsel in distress.
Whoops.
You know, and she doesn't make those decisions. So, unlike many others, she's not clever enough to figure out who the hero is. She doesn't know who Barry is. And granted, you know, he's tried to keep that from her. I'm not saying that she necessarily should have figured that out. But
right.
But it makes her seem that much less intelligent, I guess. You know, especially being around him now and picking him up and – or at least, you know, being next to him when he falls. So – and she seems to be the only one that doesn't realize it's dangerous to write this blog. She also doesn't seem to be the, she also seems to be the only one that doesn't realize The Streak is a horrible name.
Has she not heard that song about called The Streak?
Yeah, I guess apparently not.
I think it was Ray Stevens was the author on that.
Call me the streak.
She's got people telling her. I mean, Barry's like, "Oh, thank you for doing this for me, but you know that's really dangerous." And her dad going, "You shouldn't do this. It's dangerous." And granted, it's like, how many people really do listen to their parents? But, you know, I mean, you think she'd listen to Barry at least.
Well, you know, people have a – they get blinders on when they really believe something strongly. They don't want to hear anybody tell you you're wrong, you know? And that's kind of what Barry's doing, and that's what Joe was doing too. Stop, you know, there's no streak. And I think it's – I think they're not going about it the right way by telling her that he doesn't exist. I mean, clearly he exists, and clearly she has evidence for that. And so instead of denying it, just say, well, you know, I see where you're getting this, but think about what kind of consequences could be. So she needs – I hope she realized what's going on now, but she's still writing the blog at the end of this. She's still writing that, and –
Well, not even – I mean, it's that she went from writing the anonymous blog to writing – you know, to adding her name. And, you know, what I think that was last episode. It's like, uh-oh, you shouldn't add your name. Bad guys are going to find you. She's like, but so what happens this week? Bad guys find her. It's like, told you so.
I know. So she's the Lois Lane. She's doing what she shouldn't do right now. But okay, so let's get into some people that are not just told – we're not just told that they're intelligent. They actually show it. So Joe West is doing a little more digging on Nora Allen's death, just like he promised Barry he would.
Yep, and he's a clever fella.
He is a clever fella. He's also not a very good boxing coach, apparently, because he pretty much gave up on Barry there. But I guess he saw the lack of potential in Barry. Why don't you just go ahead and run? That's
Well, you know, not everybody's cut out for that.
Oh, but you know what? It was true. It was very realistic.
it's amazing how his advice in the past was exactly what Barry needed in this episode.
Well, that's why they flash back to that particular part.
Got it.
You know, they're not going to show an episode and flash back to when Barry was 12 eating a sandwich. I mean,
what does that have to do with anything?
The flashbacks that relate, they don't bother me as much as, say, you know, like on ER when they used to have the patients that would come in having the exact same problem as the doctor, and the doctor learned the lesson from seeing the patient fail. You know,
right.
That's a little bit more convenient. The flashbacks, you know, are just memories, you know.
That's the coincidence that I'm talking about.
Yes, exactly. West confronts Harrison Wells. Well, first he doesn't confront him. First he befriends him and, hey, let's go have a drink.
Beats him around the bush there is what he does.
And you know what? I honestly didn't realize that's what he was doing at first. I really kind of thought he wanted – I didn't think he was just being a friend, but I thought he was looking for kind of digging up some evidence that would point him to some of these unexplainable events. You know, and maybe making a connection somehow there. I didn't think he was first going for Harrison Wells.
Right.
And again, this is some of our background knowledge, but it really felt to me like they're missing the obvious that, you know, yes, the particle accelerator accident has happened recently, but could it – I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, I guess maybe that's not an obvious thing you wouldn't think of. Could it affect the past somehow?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that's obvious. I mean, I think we know from reading comic books that time travel is an element. The producers have mentioned in some interviews lately that, yes, time travel ends up being something that they deal with, but that's not the first thing. I mean, I think the line of questioning that West went through with Wells was a very logical and well thought out piece of evidence. Like, well, if the particle accelerator caused the issue now, doesn't it stand to reason that if Barry saw something that looks like the way he acts now, wouldn't there have been a particle accelerator issue 14 years ago?
Right.
It's like, yeah, that's great. Now you're digging up the past, dude. That's never a good thing to do. Dangerous.
No, that doesn't go well. But even so, I mean, even I still, I don't think I would have been convinced by Wells when he said, look, you know, there's no way this particle accelerator happened the first time. I said, yeah, but couldn't something else, couldn't some natural phenomenon cause this to happen, cause the impossible? Just because the particle accelerator never happened,
right?
We know that it's possible. Maybe some natural occurrence happened. Maybe it was just, you know, a bolt of lightning causing it, or some solar flare or meteor storm, or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Alignment of planets, or yeah, who knows, right?
Yeah. So to me, it felt like he kind of gave up on that idea too easily. From a standpoint of not enjoying the story, just for me, I would have been like, come on, keep going, keep digging. You're on the right track. Keep going. Wells knew what he was doing, though. I mean, he saw through eventually, which made him even more suspicious to me. So
he is, I mean, they are making Wells stand out like a sore thumb in just terms of, like, you know, everyone's bad guy detector is going off. And to me, it seems like it's just too convenient. You know, he seems like the bad guy. Oh, I mean, granted, he did kill somebody. But there are all these, you know, questions and things that are popping up, and again, coincidences that appear to make him seem like the bad guy. And I feel, again, it's just too convenient. I think that the writers and the producers are having a little fun with us that are fans that think we know where they're going with the storyline. And I think there is actually something else going on. I just can't tell you what, because I don't know. I don't know where they're going.
I believe that. I mean, what you said is kind of how I feel, too. I think there's something else going on. I think it's too obvious that it would be Wells. But I do think that it's got to be connected somehow very closely with Wells, because the yellow blur, you know, appeared right after West talked to Wells, right after they'd kind of settled that.
Right.
So why? Okay, well, if this is a time travel issue, then it could happen at any time. So whoever is doing this could have picked that specific time to come back and threaten Joe.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in other words, to kind of make it look like it is Wells to Joe, or maybe, you know, put that connection somehow, they could have picked that time to almost frame him.
Sure. Because if we were to take Wells at face value, there's two things going on. One is he's saying he wants to protect Barry from those that would do him harm. And then the second thing is, like you say, this weird coincidence that as soon as Wells and confronts West about what's going on, then this yellow blur appears at West's house, takes all of his paperwork, his research away, and threatens him, right? That, you know, you need to stop doing this or your family's going to die. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's not, I don't know. Because we also talked about, like, how long was Wells working at Star Labs? And we said, you know, he had been there at least 10 years. Well, now we find out he basically had opened the lab 14 years ago.
Right.
Like a month after Barry's mom died because he had moved from wherever he was before because of an accident that happened to his, I believe it was his, I think he said that they were married, so I think it was his wife.
I think it was his wife, too. So that was the other piece of the puzzle that we got this week, Tess Morgan.
Yeah.
So who
name
is Tess
doesn't ring
Morgan?
A bell in terms of comic books. The only Morgan character I know about in the DC universe is Travis Morgan, who is also known as the Warlord, which is kind of a he's a shirtless Conan warrior kind of guy in an Atlantis sort of setting. So I couldn't find anything else about that. So I think there's more to that, but what West finds out is that it was, you know, his wife, and there was some accident, and he decided to leave wherever he was because people blamed him for that. He has this bad luck streak kind of following him, which I don't know
Wells
if it's
does.
What's that?
Wells?
Yeah, has Wells to, does.
Right.
Something happened, and his wife died in some tragic accident, so he moves to another town, and 14 years later, the particle accelerator explodes and creates this problem where all these metahumans get created, including the Flash. Is this something that he was trying to do at the point earlier, but killed his wife instead? Was he trying to do something with particle acceleration and did something that brought this other yellow guy to Barry's neck of the woods? Did he open some rip in time back then that allowed this person through, you know, like a beacon to allow him to kill Barry's mom? And
or maybe it wasn't a rip in time. Maybe it happened back then. Although we do know time travel is going to play into it, but
yeah. I mean, and, you know, I know as soon as we start discussing, like when they start showing time travel here and we have to start discussing it, I had enough problems keeping track of this on Lost and discussing this with people and, you know, talking about Terminator and stuff like this. We are going to get into, like, paradox issues and all sorts of
absolutely
crazy
That's
stuff.
What makes time travel fun. So, well, but the only other thing I wanted to point out was that, to me now, I don't know anything about Tess Morgan other than it's connected to Wells and the time that all of this kind of went down. I'm kind of putting Tess Morgan in there on the list of potential suspects.
Mm.
Now, I don't think they're going to go Tess Morgan going to be the yellow blur there. I think that's going to be Professor Zoom. I don't think it's going to be a woman. I think they'll go more traditional than that. But somehow she's connected with what's going on, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the dead partner is always almost always never dead and evil because
right.
they want revenge.
Yes, we've seen that recently on another show.
Yes.
On Arrow. So, all right, well, we'll see another piece of the Wells puzzle here. We'll add that to our stack and see if we can shuffle all these together, and hopefully, you know, enough monkeys are in the room to type up the answer. All right, so we get to the end. They get Girder locked up.
Yep.
Iris is feeling happy. And, of course, everything should be great. We'll just leave it status quo. Oh, no, wait, Barry. You got to go down and torment this guy because, you know, of course he'll never get out or anything like that. You're perfectly safe. No. And then you show him who you are.
Oh, man.
What?
Rookie mistake.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and he had two people on his team there, two partners that should have been telling him not to do that. Come on. That's you're playing with fire there, man.
We are 6 episodes in, and he's already revealed his identity to 8 people. I've got my list here, so I'm trying to keep track of this. I don't know at this point in the Arrow continuity how many characters knew that Oliver Queen was the Arrow, but I'm pretty sure it was a lot less. He's only up to, I don't know, I think the mid-teens or something like that in people that know his identity. At this rate, Barry's going to have about 20 to 25 people that know.
Well, hey, he's the Flash, man. He's got to do everything faster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly. He does.
All right. Well, I'm not sure that that was a very wise move, but, well, so be it. The guy knows who you are now, so.
Yeah.
Just more potential danger there.
Right, and like you said, they're possibly never going to get out. I mean, you know, what could happen if, you know, they're all locked up under the building where you guys, you know, meet and work on a daily basis with potentially a dude that is an evil time-traveling megalomaniac, you know, from the future. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know, and plus he could probably tell people, too. He is a bad guy, so he may be telling people. So
he's talking through the vents. Hey, yeah. Everybody!
Hey, who's down here? Anybody down here that could, like, I don't know, turn to mist and come through the vents or something, or I don't know, stretch or. All right, so we finish up with Iris writing more on her blog, and I just have to say, she's doing some serious plagiarizing. She starts her blog, she finishes her blog with the exact same thing that Barry was telling Oliver in the pilot episode. Wow, I wonder how she heard that. It's bizarre, or a big
coincidence. It is weird. Yeah, the character heard the exact or came up with the exact same speech that that Barry had, and I thought it was an interesting from a storytelling perspective. Though it was an interesting way to utilize a different voice to tell you the same thing that you'd heard six episodes ago.
Uh huh.
But instead of the hero telling you, it's his newest disciple, basically. I'm telling you, boy, this is turning into like a whole like Christ thing here, right? With him, you know, doing stuff.
It's got
but
a following.
She tells you know that you need to believe in the impossible, and then she christens him the Flash.
Right. So in some ways, you know, this was the first you know to the people of the city. This is the first. This is the birth of the Flash. Hey, that's what it's called. You know,
yeah.
Flash is born. So that to me that it fits very well with the pilot where we witnessed the real birth of the Flash, but now this is kind of like out there and established.
It's the public unveiling.
Birthing. The public unveiling. There you go. Not the public birthing. No. So either way, that she's stealing other people's stuff, man. She needs to be original.
Yeah.
So.
She's not a really good journalist either.
No, you don't think
Can
so?
Can I just say, I mean, based on what we've seen, she's not a great journalist.
Well, I think she's still learning, you know, she's still getting her start.
She's supposedly in school, I think, yeah. You know, I don't know.
All right. Not the best show, best episode for our Iris love, but hopefully she can redeem herself here in the next few episodes. We got some good ones ramping up for the next few weeks.
We've got three more episodes and then they go on their season hiatus. So I think most of the other shows that we do podcasts for are off next week, but The Flash will be around even though it's Thanksgiving week. And then he'll be back to join up with Arrow the first week in December, which will be really exciting. And then he goes to his mid-season break the second week of December.
Yep, that's right. So, but we do have a few more episodes before all that. And,
yep.
And they're going to be good
Looking
ones,
forward
so.
To it.
Well, there were some references in this one, so I want to make sure we share those because not as many as we've seen in the past, but there were some interesting ones.
Yeah, there were, again, a couple maybe obvious ones. Of course, Girder can turn into metal. It seemed like he had different types of metal. They didn't really explain his powers too much. Not that necessarily he would know, but it seemed like kind of depending on what he touched, he would turn into that style of metal. Mm-hmm. But the folks at Star Labs referenced him as a Man of Steel, which, of course, is a famous nickname for a much more famous superhero character, Superman. I have this note here. This is not necessarily a reference, but there was this Roomba joke that Joe West told to Dr. Wells when they were talking at the bar, most awkward, worst joke I've seen like in a TV series in years. It was just horrible. I didn't find it. I mean, I can see why they're kind of laughing at it, but I didn't. I don't know. I just didn't feel it was not appropriate for the writers to put in there because I didn't think it made any sense in the context. But maybe I'm just too stupid to understand.
No, I doubt it. It was pretty dumb.
Okay. The city right next door to Central City is Keystone, which is how it works in the comics. Keystone City is right next door to Central City. Keystone City in the comics is the home of the Golden Age Flash. And when they go to investigate Girder, they go to Garrick's Wharf. At least that's what the sign on the corrugated metal behind them said, which is a reference to Jay Garrick, who is the Golden Age Flash. So I thought that's nice, kind of keeping all in the family there. The name of the bar that Wells and West go to is called Warriors. And in the DC Universe, Warriors is a bar that is run by the Green Lantern, Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner.
Yes.
Love
he's
Guy
like
Gardner.
The third tier or fourth tier Green Lantern. He's way down there on the list of Green Lanterns.
I was a fan of Guy Gardner there for a while.
He's fun because he's such a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got a bad Mo haircut.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like Mo from the Three Stooges.
Yes.
If you want to read the best iteration of Guy Gardner, you need to check out the 1985-86 Justice League series where they formed the new Justice League shortly after the Crisis on Infinite Earths. And he's in it, and he and Batman just butt heads, and it's some of the funniest stuff that I've seen in comics. It's great. Iris talks about on her blog or that in the research for her blog, she's been hearing about a guy who's on fire but doesn't burn up. So you had a couple ideas about who this character might be.
Well, my first thought was Firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
But then I
that
saw
was
couple,
my thought, yeah.
Yeah, and then I saw a couple people online thinking it was Heatwave. Now, we don't know whether Heatwave's a metahuman or not. We know that he has the Star Labs gun, the fire gun, you know, that,
right, that
Captain Cold
gave
him.
Yep.
But, you know, is it possible he has some sort of fire power as well? But either way, it could have been either one of those. It's definitely relevant, and I'm sure that will come up again.
I'm sure it will. Yeah, I'm sure that was a tease for that. And then the number 52, which they seem to be putting in a lot of these episodes, Unit 52 was the police car that got called out to Iris's house to keep an eye on her when they knew that Girder was potentially coming after her. So that was it. I was looking. I didn't see anything else. I mean, there might have been something else that I missed, but I think that's pretty much it.
I looked for Lexi LaRoche. That was Caitlin's, you know, bully growing up. She mentioned that. I couldn't find Lexi LaRoche anywhere. And I there wasn't as many this one. I kind of like when they put those references in there, but they only put a few this week.
Oh, you know, I think I might have heard. Hang on. There was something else about that I thought with the. Oh, no, not Lexi. Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not what I was thinking about.
I was trying to find some, but I couldn't find any. So now I didn't know how to spell Lexi LaRoche. So if anybody knows, you let me know if you've heard of her somewhere. She's some waitress at Big Belly Burger or something. I don't know. Could be. Well, all right. Well, you know what? That's it. You and I got to run. And I had a great time talking about it, but it has come to an end once again.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us feedback on iTunes. We really enjoy reading all the different feedback that we have there. If you'd like to, you can also contact us by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or tweet us at scarletvelocity on Twitter or visit our Facebook page. We got some great discussions going on over there, and I'm always posting some different little screen caps or other interesting things there, and that's at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
Yeah, and you can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast. That's going to play heavily into Flash here very soon. And also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is not going to play heavily onto although the latest episode had the word Barry in it, and they did have a well. Mm. So, you know, there's a couple Thanks.
That's really pulling me.
Yeah, it doesn't connect. It's a completely different universe. Green Justice and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files are both on randomchatter.com. And all of our shows are available on the iTunes Store, of course, and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you would enjoy this podcast, please, we would love for you to share it with all of your friends and get word out for us so we can enjoy talking about this with as many people as possible, because it's loads of fun. And of course, we want to get you out there and vote for The Flash for the People's Choice Awards. That's very important. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.